Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Wealth Protector TV. You may be listening to this on Wealth Protector Radio. Very excited to have my two guests today, Ray Olmo and Harry Barth. Ray is the CEO and president for Trust CFO. Harry Barth is the founder and senior managing partner for the law firm Barth Calderon. Can you both hear me okay?
We can hear you fine, Paul.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Well, we're talking about private retirement plans today, and I'm just going to jump right into it and hand it off to you. I think, Harry, are you starting or Ray?
I'll start. So why are we together? Why are we talking? What's all the excitement about? Well, I've discovered, maybe I should have discovered earlier on, that there's a very special asset protection exemption that's available to California citizens, and only to California citizens. California, you know, has always had a bias in favor of employees, and also a bias in favor of retirement planning and in protecting those assets from the claims of third-party creditors, which manifests itself, I think, in Ray, it's Section 715 something or other of the bankruptcy code. And in essence, what we are able to do, or potentially able to do for you, is to be able to set up a retirement plan with after-tax dollars that we can discriminate on who we're going to set it up for. And as long as that money is being used exclusively for retirement plan, and that's what Ray will tell us a little bit, properly administered, properly structured, under California law, those assets are 100% exempt from the claims of creditors. And I also believe, which maybe Ray can confirm for me, that under California law, if the assets are exempt, the distributions of those assets from the plan are also exempt in California, which is absolutely amazing. So, and there are a lot of things that we can do with this retirement plan that ancillarily can provide you with some significant asset protection, although the primary purpose is retirement planning. So I'd like to kick it over to Ray a little bit. And before we get to that, for all of our clients and prospective clients, we'd like to sit with you and review the opportunity to introduce private retirement plans for all of you that would be qualified to get one. And Ray will speak a little bit, if you can, about the requirements to be able to establish a private retirement plan in California. And I think there'd be time really worthwhile, especially in the current conditions that we have. So Ray, if you can, you know, take those couple of questions, that would be wonderful.
Well, that was a lot, Harry. Pleasure to see you and Paul again. It's been a while. This COVID thing's been kind of a monkey, but we've worked hard to kind of sync up and make sure that we're attending to the issues right now. I want to go back to one thing. You know, we were just talking before on, you know, I'm on a plane and I'm coming down to Orange County and I'm on this plane and I'm looking down at all the ants, right? And I'm just looking at them going, they're running around naked and they have no idea what rights they have. And so the rights are your exemption rights, right? It's your ability to protect against taxes, which is a tax exemption, you know. But B, it's the creditor protection, the creditor exemption rights that are awarded to people. And yes, some states like Texas have an awesome homesteading and you can have up to, I don't know what it is, 500 acres and be fully exempt. But in California, what people don't realize is that California was the originator of retirement exemption. 1970, you talked about statute 704.115. It's a state law. It hasn't changed a lick since 1970, which is 4 years before ERISA was founded. Right, Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why has nobody like used this? Well, you don't use it until you need it. And the problem is when you need it, it's too late. And so, you know, the problem we have as administrators, that our phone burns up and hey, I want to go and protect my assets. Well, why? Well, I'm getting sued from here to high water. Well, okay. You know, it's a little too late. So what we want to educate, you know, I was literally on the phone a couple hours ago with two clients that are from the Bay Area. They're high tech guys and they're forward thinkers. They're like, you know what? I don't have an issue yet, but I want to pre-plan. I want to make sure that my assets are protected. Okay. So let's go back to the basis. Retirement planning is number one, the safe, it's the foundation. It's the safest, it's the strongest, it's the most cost-efficient version of true asset protection. But you got to do it before. You can't say, oh, I'm going to try to evade creditors, I'm going to try to set up a plan. There's bad case law all over the internet about people that, you know, try to, you know, avoid the lawsuits. What we want is we want to educate and we want to pre-plan clients and make sure that they understand that there's certain rights that they have. Now, I will tell you, and I hate to use this, but I'm going to put it on video, that the ultimate case is O.J. Simpson. Okay. O.J. Simpson has been sued for, I think it's over 20 years now, $50 million from the Goldmans and the Brown family. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to get a dime. Because of exemptions, his retirement exemption. They can't touch his pension. And this is what we want to advocate for our clients. Okay, yeah, no, don't, you know, do whatever, but pre-plan and make sure that you're funding your retirement. The trick is you got to prove that you need for retirement. So anyways, Harry, back to you for some more questions.
Well, a question that I have, I heard, you know, I heard and I've seen some cases. There's some good cases and some bad cases. This particular exemption is a bankruptcy exemption in California. And I have seen on many occasions, although I don't advocate this in any way, shape, or form, that on the courthouse steps on the way to bankruptcy, people are taking advantage of bankruptcy exemptions that they would have been entitled to anyway. So although we never want to deal with cases after the fact, they're not good cases. There are some courts, I think, that are okay if it's a bankruptcy exemption right up to the doorstep of bankruptcy. Is that true, Ray?
Yeah, it's a very tricky situation. And again, as administrator, not legal counsel, just we're kind of the fox in the hen house. So we see what happens in the trenches.
Sure.
California is a weird animal. It has two exemption systems. It has a bankruptcy and a non-bankruptcy system. Okay. And if you look, your exemptions are totally different. I mean, life insurance is different.
And sure.
So what happens with retirement is it actually applies to both, which is totally bizarre and unique. I mean, I haven't seen anything in all the states. So if you fund your retirement plan, you're exempt to both bankruptcy and non-bankruptcy situations. Now, Harry, you and I, our world we deal with, our clients aren't insolvent.
That's correct.
You know, these guys make a ton of money. They're high net worth. And at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to claim, I'm impoverished and I'm going to claim bankruptcy. So the criticalness is that we say, well, okay, what are you funding to your retirement? You now have to integrate federal retirement first, which is 401ks, profit sharing, defined benefit plans. Okay, that's under, you know, code 401, IRAs, which are 408, all this boring stuff. But the problem with our clients, Harry, is that our clients make too much money. That's trying to fund those plans is like throwing the deck chair off the Titanic. It isn't going to float, right? So what do we have to do? Well, that's an income statement proposition. And what we're saying is, well, wait a second. Our clients that are making $2, $3, $4, $5, some $10 million in annual income can't fund a retirement plan on an income statement balance. So what we do is say, well, you can do a private retirement plan, which is funding from the balance sheet. It's already after tax. Think about the simple logistics of this. How many of our clients have been building their businesses of retirement? 99.9%.
Sure.
How many have been building real estate for the retirement? 99.9%. Okay. Basically, what I'm saying is all of them. Everything that they're building for their future selves is the retirement. What they don't realize is that, oh, okay, I should have been quarantining this and recharacterizing it for retirement and not my personal use and not running around exposed, but having it protected and claiming my legal right under the statute, the law. And the trick is when you get tested and the courts come in saying, well, how much are you funding? You have to prove the need for retirement. That those are the actuarial analytics. Boring. When you say actuarial, you want to blow your brains out. It's boring. But if, believe me, if you were sitting on the stand with an attacking creditor and you had to prove up your need for retirement, that's the strongest word you can possibly want.
Understood. So question. So so that means every case would be different. Every time we look, we see the actuarial need for retirement. So is there a guideline that we use? Is it 60% of current income, 70% of current income as a need for retirement? How do we define a need for retirement? Everyone's retirement needs may be very different.
They are. And the variables are it's age to income to net worth statement. So what you're going to find generically, and by the way, Harry, let me go back to, we partnered up with Barth Calderon. You guys have the analytics, the diagnostic on your page. All of your clients, every single one of your clients should be going, you know what? I just want to see what this free report looks like. And they're going to be blown away. Okay. And you're providing great value for that. Yeah, we're the backroom technician. We just do the analytics. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to prove up is exactly what you asked. So here's the dynamic. If you have an older person with a huge balance sheet that they built, all right, and they have a low income, meaning they're kind of coupon clipping like real estate, right?
Sure.
Those people are only going to be able to fund 10, 15, 20, maybe 25% of their assets to supplement the retirement. But you and I run into a lot of these tech kids, okay? I was on the phone earlier with two, and they're 45 years old, and they have a huge earnings capacity. And they have a small balance sheet as of yet, right? They haven't triggered options, things like that. So
yes,
when you look at the dynamic there, they're gonna get up to 80, 85, 90% of funding for the retirement. So it's an actuarial economic. And so the answer is you need to go in and you need to put in the algorithm, the diagnostic, and kick out a report that tells you what the answer is.
So a question for you. So if someone is even eligible to fund 80% of their current earnings into a retirement plan, that doesn't mean they have to. They can fund 10%, 15%, 20%, any number that they want as long as it doesn't exceed the threshold that we consider to be safe. Let me ask you a question. So when you do that, so they're not going to be able to perhaps have all the money needed to fund the retirement plan up front. So let me ask you a question about that. So if I was turning around and I was eligible for, you know, X dollars a year of retirement income based upon the analytics, and in order to fund that in today's dollars, if I had, let's say I needed $5 million to fund that $600,000 a year, and if I had the $5 million, I could transfer that $5 million into my retirement plan, and now that's a $5 million retirement plan asset that I funded this year, and I wouldn't have funding requirements. I'd have analytical requirements, but no further funding requirements, hopefully, until the age of retirement. Is that correct?
Yeah, let me restate that, just again, having done this 1,000 times, in terms of how the clients typically listen to this. What you're doing is you're saying, well, listen, we're going to prove up that you have X assets on your balance sheet, and you're only going to fund 15 or 20% of what we've calculated as 50%. So there's a major gap. Well, that gap is filled by their earnings capacity. So you have a young buck that's making a ton of money, but they haven't earned it yet, right?
Correct.
So what we're going to do is say, we're going to monetize that and say, well, listen, Mr. Client, Mrs. Client, you know, you guys, we can fund this, but you still need to fund a ton. So we're going to fund what's called a promissory note, private retirement plan promissory note. And that's a commitment, not too different than a defined benefit plan, if anybody's heard that term, right? That's your commitment. A lot more flexible, by the way, for the PRP. So they're going to say, well, listen, I know I'm going to make a bunch of money. I'm going to make $500, $1 million, $2 million per year, and I want to fund that, but I haven't earned it yet. So we fund what's the present value of that note, okay, the promissory note. But this is a deferred comp world. It's unfunded. So they haven't earned the money yet, have they?
No.
Okay. So I'm an ex-banker. Sorry, I use my powers for good, not evil anymore. So I go, hey, listen, your exempt trust that's protected, okay, from creditors hasn't been funded. We love this note. We know you're good for it. You're going to earn it, but you haven't earned it yet. So what we'd like to do is we'd like to come back and take the equivalent assets as security, just like a bank would.
Okay. That's great. But a question that I'm going to get asked is, well, you know, what if we get hit with a pandemic or a worldwide crisis and we are unable to meet the needs under that promissory note? Does that mean that our private retirement plan can foreclose against the assets that I use to secure it?
Theoretically, yes, but it really never would. In 20 years of me doing this, we never have, because what we're really looking at is that the commitment and the capacity, and again, just like a defined benefit plan,
sure,
I'm going to commit to this, but if I can't do it and change in circumstance happens, well, I need to modify the note. So at the end of the day, yes, while it's securing and protecting assets for its ability, what happens is we can modify that, and we do modify it on a regular basis. So annually, Harry, when we do our benchmarking, when we look, like I literally probably have done, I don't know, 20 annual reviews in the last 2 weeks. Every one has been, well, I'm making more money, so we're upgrading the note. If they were to lower the note and they didn't need the collateral, we would reduce it. If we had to cancel the note, then so be it. But the flexibility in a private retirement plan is, there's no prohibitive transactions. There's no, you know, laws that regulate you requiring to fund the plan. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And what's so exciting about it is, at the end of the day, as long as it truly is designed for retirement, it is a retirement plan properly funded and properly analyzed every year by a third-party administrator such as yourself, that there is a very high probability in the event of a creditor attack that those assets would remain as protected assets in the state of California. And I think that is a wonderful opportunity for California citizens who are so beat up in having such poor other exemptions as compared to other states, to give them an opportunity to do that. So let me ask you a couple of questions, some seminal questions, Ray. So I'm assuming that my client has to own a business. Tell me about that. Tell me what does my client, what are the prerequisites for my client to have in order to be able to establish? I'm assuming if my client has a business, it's a S corporation or an LLC or a C corporation, and it's a traditional business, they can establish a plan for themselves, their employees, with others. But now a lot of our clients are just in the real estate business. They just have real estate entities that hold real property and they collect rents. And what if we don't have any business at all, just assets? Let's talk about that.
Okay, so what you're talking about, Harry, is you're talking about active versus passive.
Yes. Okay?
So you have most of our clients, 95% of the clients have active businesses. They're, you know, C corps, S corps, LLCs.
Sure.
They're driving earnings, risk, and all that good stuff. For the few that really have sold businesses, I have a client that's 45 years old, sold his business, but you know what his business is now? is managing his estate.
Yes.
So now what we have is almost a family office orientation, right? Paul knows this, right? So we're talking about a family office. What's your purpose? Managing my assets. That's my business purpose. And so what we do is we basically set up an LLC, no different than any family office would, to manage the portfolio of assets. Back to your question, you cannot fund a private retirement plan individually. You cannot establish a trust in the state of California as an independent. You know this, Harry, right? So versus Nevada Domestic Asset Protection Trust. So you need a sponsor, just like any retirement plan, a 401k, an IRA, okay? You need to have a sponsor. And so what we do is we set up an LLC. I did one this morning. We set up an LLC. The purpose of the Google client is not only to manage their Google stock and their RSUs and all that good stuff, but their real estate, their rental properties, and their investment assets and all that stuff. So at the end of the day, the solution isn't that complex. It's basically establishing a sponsoring entity. The sponsoring entity then funds assets. Retirement assets. Yeah.
Got it. Is there some relationship between what a person earns? Well, I guess there is a relationship between what they earn now and their balance sheet to come up with a formula for what would be an appropriate amount of retirement assets. We're pretty excited about having our clients take a look at those analytics, which are offered complimentary on the Barth Calderon website. Please visit and take the analytics. As Ray says, you'll be quite surprised. I really don't have anything more than other than we look forward to working with all of our clients towards this private retirement program to see how much we can help our clients both for retirement and to protect their assets from the claims of third-party creditors. We look forward at having as our colleague Ray, who is and his administrative company, who will help you administer these plans, which are critically important to their integrity and their validity. So with that, I thank you very, very much, Ray, for coming on our show. And I look forward to you working and helping our clients very, very much. And so now we'll turn it back to Paul.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Harry. Harry, my question is, when you're advising a client on a comprehensive asset protection strategy, do you look at this as a tool that fits into a broader program?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. The private retirement plan will be able to cover a certain amount of assets, and other tools and techniques that we have will help them with the other, so they can be as impenetrable as can possibly be under the current law.
Yeah. So if I can chime in, Paul, I mean,
yeah.
We often are the baseline. We come in and our partners like Harry say, hey, give me the magic number. Tell me what we're maxing out. Do not stretch the limit. Don't be aggressive. And when we cap out, we only solve so much problem. Okay. We got tested last year and we had a client worth $60 million. We only funded just under $10 million, $9.9 million. And guess what? They literally discharge everything. They said, we won't touch it. We'll never touch it. All the money it's spent needs to be paid back. But that was our chore. Above and beyond that, it's up to your expertise to integrate that with your advanced planning.
Great. Excellent. Ray, Harry, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you,
guys.
Ray.
Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.